Avikita jita paritang banantu. Sage kame cherupe girisikaratate chantali kevimane dipherate chagame taruwana gahane gehawatumpikete. Jalatala vesame yaka gandavanaka titantasantikeyang munivaravachanang sadavome sunantu buddha dasanakalo ayang badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Sangha Payarupasana Kalo Ayang Badanta
I think I'm going to forego the screen sharing. I'm going to just let the computer be to the side here. And I just want to say hello to everyone who's joining online. I'm just taking a look at you for a moment. I'm keeping the computer down here. I don't kind of like it in front of me. But I see you. It's lovely to see you. I'm looking at you down there. And so I won't be screen sharing, but I'll do a call and response through the paying homage to the Buddha and taking the three refuges and the five precepts for those who would like to have that as a container for the retreat. So I'll chant Namo Tassa three times, and then you can repeat three times. And then we'll go line by line through the refuges in Pali. And then I'll go through the precepts in Pali, and you can repeat in Pali if you know it, and then we can do it also in English. Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Hato Samma Sambuddhassa. Just a moment. So I recognize you're used to doing it all together, so we'll just do it all together. We don't need to do call and response. For those of you online, we'll just chant together. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata vedamani sikkhapadang samadhiyami I undertake the precept to refrain from taking the life of any living being. Maybe we can do call and response with this, but the English, because I want to hear you say it. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking the life of any living being. Adinnadana vermani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given. Kame sumi chachara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct.
I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct.
Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from false and harmful speech.
Suramereya manjapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drink and drugs which lead to carelessness.
Imani pancha sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Imani pancha sikkhapadani silena sukhatinyanti. Silena bhoga sampada. Silena nimuttinyanti tasma silang visotaye.
So this is a little blessing. You don't need to repeat this, but just take it in. These are the five precepts. Sila or ethics is a support for true happiness. Sila or ethics is a support for true wealth. Sila is a support for the peacefulness that leads to liberation. So take good care of your sila, of your morality, of your ethics. Okay. So we're creating the framework for the practice. Well, if it sounds a little daunting, then take it a day at a time. And as I mentioned before, the theme of the day is radiating kindness over the entire world. In Pali, me tancha sambalo kasmi. Metancha sambalo kasmi. So metta for the entire world. So this time, I mean, I think the world has always been a crazy place. And I always think like the Buddha arose in the world and taught the Dhamma because samsara is a crazy ride. And he showed us, first of all, how to live in a way that's more aligned with truth and therefore brings more happiness and well-being, and also how to find the way out of this endless round of rebirths, as he puts it. So, you know, there's this combination of practices. It's like refraining from doing harm. So we, you know, when we don't have mindfulness, we don't take care of our mind, heart and mind, then unless we're very developed beings when we come in, then we're going to get pulled into directions that will not serve us or serve others. You know, we're going to start acting from anger, greed, fear, resentment, confusion. You know, all of these things are going to happen, and that's how it is until the mind is trained for an untrained mind. So the practice is to train the mind, and the precepts are part of that training. The precepts are, you know, when I first heard about the precepts, I felt like, oh, you know, it was like far from how I was living or how anyone I knew was living, honestly. And it seemed like a very high practice to live by those five precepts. And then over time, of course, you know, monastic life, we have many more precepts. And over time, what's become clear is that those precepts are like a beautiful container. I always see them as almost like sparkly. They're like the place that stops us from harming ourselves or harming others. And they're not, they don't have to be held too tight. If we hold them too tight, then we just get stressed and unhappy, and it, you know, we criticize ourselves not being perfect. So you don't want to have them too tight. That's a little bit like you know, having a horse that's tied up really tight to a post. You know, it's going to be unhappy and it's going to try and pull away, and it's not going to be. So if we try and if we hold the precepts too tight, it gets like that, and then we just want to break loose. So you want to make the precepts like a large field, a paddock or a field that you can enjoy, and that's a source of safety for you, for us. And there's room to move around. And in that room, you get to see, in that space, you get to see, where does the mind incline? Is there an inclination towards, you know, lying? Or is there an inclination towards greed? You know, I want what somebody else has. Or is there an inclination towards wanting to get rid of, wanting to dismiss and get rid of and annihilate? You know, where does your mind tend? And it's we all have a mixture of those along with the wholesome states. And so it's just good to get to know what is the inclination, where does the mind go? And just to be honest about it, it's not personal actually. We don't have to judge ourselves for it. It's just, we just need to know. Because if we don't know, then those things become unconscious and they just play out unconsciously. And the more we know, the more we're able to take care of and transform and guide. So those precepts are a beautiful area within which we can explore the mind and train our mind from, and our body, speech and mind, from creating harm for ourselves or harm for others. And it said, those who live by the precepts, the five precepts, they are a source of fearlessness for all beings. Can everybody hear me okay? Yeah? Great. A little bit quiet. I can't put that any. Maybe you need to be closer to the speaker.
So yes, it said that for one who keeps the precepts, they become a source of fearlessness for all beings. You know, in this time in the world, there's so much fear and anxiety and distrust and confusion. So to be able to live as someone, you know, to be able to rest into that place where you know you're not going to do anything harmful. You're not going to, even if you might not feel like it sometimes, you're not going to follow those impulses. You're not going to do anything harmful, even to a little bug, you know, even to a little insect. You're not going to intentionally harm. And, you know, creatures notice that. They can tell. They know when, you know, there's no pretending. Like with human beings, we can pretend. Put on a face and nice facade, but not that it's of any value, but people do it. But with creatures, you know, with animals, they know. So, then living in a way that's aligned with integrity and care for ourselves and for all beings. So, this is also a basis for the metta practice, actually, the sense of care for oneself and care for all beings. So I'd like to offer a guided meditation now. So please find your posture for meditation. And we're going to sit for about 40 minutes. Become aware of the seat beneath you, allowing yourself to fully rest into your seat. As much as possible, having your spine erect. And it's very beneficial if you're sitting in a chair to have your feet on the ground or on a cushion. So you're creating a good stable foundation. And if you're sitting on a zafu, a cushion on the floor, or with a stool, a bench, make sure you have a good, solid foundation beneath you, that your knees aren't floating somewhere in the air, and that your zafu is just lifting your base of your spine, so that your spine naturally aligns all the way up. I'd like to just guide us to start at the base of the spine now. Just bringing your attention all the way up, vertebrae by vertebrae. Not that you're going to really feel every vertebrae, but just having the sense of the vertebrae aligning, stacking up. And maybe a little space between each vertebrae that you allow your spine to fully elongate and straighten. All the way up the back, up into the neck and into the base of the skull. As we do this, it's quite natural for the chin to tuck in a little bit. We hold this balance of energy and effort and relaxation. Maybe effort isn't quite the right word, but energy, alertness, and relaxation. This is the place of equipoise, place of balance. And be aware of your body breathing. Take a few deep breaths. Allowing the breath to find its natural rhythm. I'm going to give a guided meditation on metta. And this meditation is based on the early teachings of the Buddha. They're known as the radiant practices or the boundless practices, appamada. If this is helpful, you can just touch your heart center. We want to move from the head down into the heart space. But not the physical heart itself, but into the heart center, like the energy center of the heart, or the center of your chest. As you breathe in, Imagine that, just have a sense of the space in your chest opening up. You're making room there with each breath. I'd like to invite you to bring to mind someone or something that makes your heart smile. It might be an animal or a child or a place. It might be a saint, a teacher or the Buddha. Whatever it is that makes your heart smile, brings a sense of opening and uplift to your heart. And for some of you, there might be a feeling of like, oh no, I don't have anything, nothing opens my heart. So that's a story. So even the breath itself can open the heart. A ray of sunshine. It's a beautiful day here in San Rafael. A ray of sunshine can open the heart. A flower. Whatever works for you to just bring that sense of opening and smiling in the heart. So in this practice, we don't list different people. In this particular practice, in the early teachings of the Buddha, we don't list people. We don't go in, we don't think about even continents or species or anything like that. But it's more a practice of generating the quality of metta in your heart. Creating a field of metta in your heart center. And that may begin as a tiny little, just a little opening. And that's just perfect. With each breath, bringing attention to the quality of metta, the smile, friendliness, the openness, the welcome that metta has. So we have that, whatever it is that's brought that smile to your heart. And we keep that there for a little while just to generate the quality in the heart center. Essential that we move down from the thinking mind into the heart. Most important journey you'll ever make. But the thoughts may carry on, they may tell you stories or worry about the future or tell you that there's something much more important to do right now. But we're not paying attention to the thoughts. We're paying attention to the heart center. That's great wisdom. So as we breathe in each breath, we just invite that opening in the heart to open a little more. With each breath, With each in-breath, invite their heart to open. And the quality of metta, that smiling, accepting quality, to grow. And with each out-breath, we let go of anything that may be obstructing this quality. Just breathe it out. Let it go. So all the world, the universe, is made of energy. This is science. This is how it is. It's known. And the things that keep us stuck, these are energy. Energy that's blocked. That's being held on to for too long. So we can let that go and let that be recycled. And meanwhile, with each breath, we generate this spacious, open, friendly quality of metta. Just invite it to radiate out as far as it wants to go in all directions, like a sphere, like a little sun. At some point you can let go of your object of meditation, we want to stay with the metta, but whatever it is that's got your metta going, at some point you can let go of that and just go with the quality itself. It may have a sense of light, it may have a warmth, it may have a spaciousness, it may even have a colour. Staying centred at the heart. Letting the quality radiate. Now I'd like to invite you to have a sense that there may be a screen or a curtain or a veil that's limiting this quality a little. And almost like being in a full circle shower curtain. I'd like to invite you to with your mind just draw that curtain from the left to the right in front of you so that the quality of metta can shine out further if it wants to. I like to think of this as the veil between self and other. We draw it back in front of us. Then we draw it back to the right of us. Then we draw it back behind us. We need to do this, don't just think about it. And we draw it back to the left of us so that it's open all the way around. And that quality can radiate out as far as it wants to go. So this may be still just a tiny little glow for you, or it may be that it spreads a little further than it could, or maybe that it can go out infinitely. It's all good. The metta is boundless. We want to take away any boundaries from that metta. It's limitless. We don't want to limit it in any way. It's immeasurable. So we don't want to try and measure it. Just let it radiate. From your heart center, radiating through your body and mind, out into the world for the benefit of all beings. Just as it's radiating out in all directions around you, also let it radiate above you. From your heart center, going up through your body and mind, out into the world above you. Radiating down through your body and mind, down to your seat, down into the earth below you. The earth that is full of life. Radiating from the heart center in all directions equally. For the benefit of all beings. For the rest of this time of practice, I'd like you to stay with this quality of metta radiating in all directions. Not limiting it, not measuring it, just radiating. With each in-breath, it's as though you're bringing a little more energy, a little more fuel to that quality. And with each out-breath now, you're letting that radiance go a little further and a little further. So you use your breath as an anchor. And you stay with this practice. Letting it transform you. At the end of the meditation, I will ring the bell in about 20 minutes. And no matter how many times the mind wanders off, you bring it back to this beautiful practice of generating metta. Now, as we come to the end of this formal sitting meditation, I'd like to invite you to bring your attention back to your body and mind. Still keeping the theme of metta going, so just see whether you can allow that quality of metta to be imbuing your body and your mind. All the way down to the tips of your fingers and your toes. So I have a 20-minute period of movement meditation now. You can do walking meditation if you're able to walk. And I would like to invite you to keep that quality as much as you have it. Even if it's just a tiny little bit, it's okay. But to keep that quality of metta going through the movement meditation. And if you're walking, you know, you find your place your path, your walking meditation path between two points. It doesn't matter too much how long it is. What matters is that you're not walking across each other's paths, so that there's, you know, you also give each other space, so walk in the same direction if there's not enough room. And that you're very mindful as you walk. So that when you begin, you stand for a moment, you're aware of the body standing, you're aware of maybe a little or maybe a lot of metta in the heart, maybe somewhere in the middle, in the heart or in the body. And then you're walking, just staying with each step as you walk. And I'd like to invite you to you know, walk with metta. So this earth that we live on and that we walk on, the earth is, the actual earth is made of, you know, fallen trees, fruits, leaves, the bodies of animals, the bodies of people, ancestors. You know, it's all here. The earth is, that is what the earth is made of, is the nature of earth. And so when we're walking on the earth, even if it's not actually physically on the earth, it's on asphalt or a floor or whatever, we are walking on the history of all of these different beings that have lived before us. So to walk with respect and to walk with metta on the earth. And to walk with respect and metta for the earth itself, for Mother Earth, that has been so used and abused by human beings for so long. This is part of transforming that unwholesome karma that has been made into some wholesome path. So walking each step with metta. I'd like you to, and as you're walking, so for those of you who are not familiar, you keep a straight spine. You can have your eyes gaze maybe like 2 or 3 yards in front of you, so you're not looking around, but you're staying contained, just as you do in the formal sitting practice. And then you delineate where your path begins and ends. And you start, just feel the body standing. And then you take one step at a time until you reach the other end of your path. You're not trying to get anywhere. You're just trying to be fully here with each step. When you get to the end of your path, stop for a moment. Feel the body standing, turn, and then mindfully walk step by step back. It's simply a practice of being present while walking, present while moving. If you're not able to walk, there's a different practice that you can do, maybe, hopefully. And I'll just turn this way so the camera can see me. So if you're not able to do walking meditation, there's this practice which has a similar effect as walking meditation that I learned from my first teacher, Mechi Patomwa. She was a Thai nun, a meditation teacher in Thailand. I met her in England. So you start with your arm at 45 degrees at right angles to your body, and your fingers together and your palms straight. And you keep your attention on the palm of the hand, on the hand. And then you move, and as you move, you open your fingers and then you stop and you close them. Move, open, stop, close. Do that four times until you get to 45 degree angle from where you started. And then you do the same going back down, open and stop. Keep doing that practice. It's very peaceful. It's very good for settling the mind. And it has a similar effect. It's like when we're walking with, you know, there's the foot on the ground and then we lift the foot and it's moving and it feels different. And then it goes down again. And it feels, so the hand, like when the fingers are together and the hand is still, it's similar to when the foot is on the ground. And then when it's open and moving, it's similar to when we've lifted our foot and we're moving in the air. And then we put the foot down again, fingers together. Okay. So you don't have to think about your foot while you're doing the hands. It has a similar sort of quality. So that's an alternative to walking meditation. And I will ring the bell in 20 minutes. I'll ring the bell at 10 minutes after the hour, actually. It's a little bit longer than 20. Okay.